Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our healing day of prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to In His Sign Catholic Radio. I'm Grace Marquet, and again, I welcome you to this, our Friday Healing Day of Prayer. It's always a special time when we come together and we pray for the intentions of our brothers and sisters who have asked for prayer. And my friends, you are all part of that prayer support, because things happen when we pray together. Now today, another person is going to be part of that prayer support, because in a few days, we'll be celebrating the feast of Philadelphia's own Saint Mother Catherine Drexel. Even just saying her name, Saint Mother Catherine Drexel, I feel the power. She was a deeply spiritual woman of God who accomplished so much in her life at a time when her mission was not popular, at a time when her mission was not accepted, at a time when her mission was often rejected. She came from a very wealthy family, the Drexel family of Philadelphia. Her father was Francis Anthony Drexel, and he established the Drexel Banks of Philadelphia. His partner was J.P. Morgan, that very wealthy financier. And Mr. Drexel established Drexel University. He really established a banking empire. Well, you would think, his daughter, Catherine Drexel, with all of that wealth, she had it made. She really had it made. Well, my friends, her life and her calling would take an incredibly different turn. And I will share that with you today. I'll give you a little taste. She stepped out in faith more than 70 years before the Civil Rights Act, long before the rest of society saw the need, long before the government institutions saw the need. Catherine Drexel, even as a young child, saw the need. It was the love in her heart that saw the need. I'll also share with you today some of my own personal stories, having been out to the mother house where Mother Catherine Drexel lived. And at the time, I was asked to give a concert there. It's Combination Concert Retreat Day for a group of Third Order Franciscans. And I experienced something there that day, so extraordinary, so beautiful, where Mother Drexel was concerned. And I never forgot that day. So, I'm looking forward to today, especially this year is the 25th anniversary of the canonization of St. Catherine Drexel. The year from October 1st, 2025 through August 2026, they will be celebrating that anniversary. And who more to turn to during this Lenten season, as we begin our Lenten season, than St. Catherine Drexel? She is the epitome, as you will see, of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Did she ever know almsgiving? So we'll begin with prayer, and then we'll go into our prayer intentions. They always come first. And then I'll share with you the beautiful, challenging, rewarding life of St. Mother Catherine Drexel. And as I said, there's power in that name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we are blessed with a beautiful faith. A beautiful faith experience from people, from saints who came before us, to show us the way, to show us the path to holiness, who show us the courage to do the right thing, even when the world is coming down on us. Saint Mother Catherine Drexel is truly one of your chosen, and she has shown us your way. Lord, she endured a lifetime of people coming against her, but she didn't let it stop her. Lord, she loved you so much. She had a tremendous devotion to the Holy Eucharist, to your body and blood, which gave her the strength to go beyond what would seem impossible, even going to the point of founding a religious order of sisters and calling them the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, to help her in your mission. Lord, she prayed so many beautiful prayers from her inner being. They just poured forth from her, centered in her love for the Eucharist. And Lord, your Blessed Mother, guiding her the whole way, Mother Catherine Drexel accomplished, with great courage, a new horizon. A new horizon that was greatly needed in education and in acceptance of the Native American communities and the African American communities back in the late 1800s and in the early and mid part of the 1900s. She forged ahead, and her wealth helped her and her sisters to go to many forsaken parts of our nation to build schools and missions for the Native American children and the African American children. That's what she did. And she established the first Black Catholic university, Xavier University in New Orleans, which is still thriving after all of those years. She was nonstop. She found herself fighting many legal battles because people wanted to stop her. They didn't want her to do what she was doing. There was a lot of prejudice there, huh? They wanted to stop her. But she was bright. She was strong. And you, Lord, were by her side. Even when her health ran out and you called her home on March 3rd, 1955, and that was not so long ago. Not so long ago. Lord, you called her home at the age of 97. 97. Lord, a lifetime of giving. Giving. So, Lord, I'm going to take delight today in speaking of her, her birth, her youth, her family, her deep spirituality, even as a child, her deep spirituality, her sisters, her blood sisters, Elizabeth and Louise, and her work in the fields in the heat with the long habit that she was wearing. She'd go out in those fields. I want to tell you, those grounds were not habitable. Some were swampy, they were messy, and this is where she's building her schools and missions. She was so dedicated. She'd be in those hot fields. She'd be holding, you see pictures of her, holding an umbrella over her head to protect her from the sun. She was totally dedicated. And I'm going to delight in sharing my own personal experience at St. Catherine Drexel's mother house. So, today I'm asking her to intercede for our prayer intentions as I'm asking you to intercede. Because as I said, St. Mother Catherine Drexel, there is power in that name. There certainly is. So, I'm going to show you something here. You've probably been peeking at it. I hope you've been peeking at it. This is a beautiful painting. This is Mother Catherine Drexel. And you could see on either side of her, you see the little girl with the red shirt there. It's a Native American child. And the other two are two African American children. She loved them to pieces. And what she did in their behalf is just remarkable. This woman of God. So we're going to go through this today. We're going to ask her to intercede for our prayer intentions. I'm going to keep this right here. And I'm going to show you one more thing. I have a relic here. See this? This is a piece of cloth. This is a second-class relic. It was a cloth worn by her, by Catherine Drexel. We're going to keep that here as we pray for these intentions. And I want you to know that her crypt, St. Catherine Drexel's crypt, is in the Basilica of Saints Peter and Paul in Philadelphia. If you're from Philly or you're coming to Philadelphia, go to that beautiful basilica. It's unbelievable. And her crypt is there, as is the crypt of St. John Neumann. That was the name we will call him St. John Neumann, but I believe the correct pronunciation is St. John Neumann, the Bishop of Philadelphia. He's also there. So get yourself to St. Peter and Paul's. Now, her crypt used to be at her mother's house in Bensalem, Pennsylvania. And you could go in there. You could kneel at her crypt, and you could put your hands on the crypt. And the people who were there, like the people who were volunteers or assisted her in some way, the Native Americans and the African Americans were there. What they would do is, as you were praying there, they would take a picture of her, a little picture, and they would put it on their crypt. They would put it right on her crypt and then hand it to you. That moment, I could still feel that moment. It was such a powerful moment because you're there praying, and then all of a sudden, they're handing you this holy card that was touch to her crypt. It's just so special. And as I said, I have a relic here, and we're going to pray for our prayer intentions. And the relic that was on her body is, right here. The relic here is going to stay right there. We're going to use that to intercede for her. Now, let's see here. Do we have a call here? Okay, Eric,
but
we're trying to get.
I can't hear you.
We're at a loss here for a little volume, and he's trying to find it. I don't know if our listeners can hear that right now, if they can hear you. I do have your prayer intentions. Is that what you're calling for, Erica?
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
Okay. If you pardon me, I'm trying to really hear you, but I have them right here, so I'm going to say them, and then you tell me if we have the right ones here. Okay. Let's see, Erica Lowry. Erica, you're asking prayers for a deeper relationship with God. That is so beautiful. That probably is the best thing anyone could ever ask for. Sometimes I get frustrated myself, and I just say, Lord, I want it deeper. And I know that feeling you may be feeling with that, Erica. Also, you're praying for the health and well-being of your family members. Wonderful. And that is so unselfish of you, Erica. The health and well-being of your family members. How we love our families and how we want everything to be so well and good with them, don't we? And that's the love that God puts in your heart, Erica. He puts that in your heart because you want that so much for them. It's so beautiful. And to restore your eyesight. That's correct. Now, I wish I could hear you because I would like to know what is going on there, Erica. Let me see if I can hear. Maybe I could say it. I'm sorry, I can't hear. But, Erica, I will say, one of the difficulties I have, Erica, believe it or not, is my eyesight. I'm constantly in the doctors getting this done and that done. I had cataracts taken out, and it didn't go. Some people go through that well, and I'm happy for them. Mine did not go as well. So when you say restore your eyesight, I pray that you can be sure I will also pray that for you, Erica, okay? Because I know what that feeling is like. Are you still there, hon?
I'm still here.
Okay, I wish I can speak with you personally, but we did get your prayer intentions in. We did get your intentions in, and our listeners have heard them. I've spoke them, they heard them, and they're beautiful. As Kathleen says, she has the best listeners in the world, and they'll be praying for your intentions, Erica, okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Grieve.
Okay. God bless you. God bless you, Erica.
God bless you. All right.
There, I think I did it right on the phone. I think I pushed you the right buttons that time. So, anyway, okay, we'll continue. I'm sorry that happens. We did get a new system in. We did do that. I know Kathleen was talking about it all week, and sometimes the new system, it's a little wacky, huh? But we're going to keep going. We don't stop. We're like, see this woman here? Mother Catherine Drexel, I love her. I love her. And she kept going no matter what the problem was. And she had plenty, believe me. So we're going to go now to Teresa. Teresa Novelli, that's the prayer intention. This is requested by her cousin, Barbara Barsky Caro. To give you a little background, on January 24th, we celebrated Kathleen McCarthy's 50 years in ministry. It was an unbelievable celebration at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary. And on the altar for Kathleen's Mass were four bishops, two monsignors, numerous priests. She was overwhelmed. It was a glorious tribute to her and well deserved. We had dinner afterwards, and a lot of people there were at the dinner, and sitting next to me was Barbara. Barbara said she had attended Kathleen's Delaware retreat, and she came up for the 50th anniversary of Kathleen's celebration, 50 years in ministry. Well, Barbara was sitting next to me at the dinner. I got to know her, and she said, what do you do on the radio program? And I said, well, we pray for the intentions of our brothers and sisters. And she says, oh, can I give you an intention? I said, certainly. She said, my cousin, we're so close. She said her cousin Teresa has spinal stenosis, and it has affected her mobility. Teresa is a former Air Force nurse. She has her master's in gerontology. And I thank you, Barbara, for the request. Teresa, first let me thank you for your service as an Air Force nurse. Only the Lord knows how many people you have ministered to and helped heal. I had a friend who had spinal stenosis, and I want to tell you, when that would kick in, she would have severe back pain. She could not move. So as a nurse, Teresa, with a master's in gerontology, you certainly know more about this condition than I could ever explain. You also know the level of pain that you're in, that you're experiencing. Well, I'm going to pray for you, Teresa, and so are our listeners going to pray for you. And I'm going to give you to someone who knows you through and through, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, you knew suffering. You love Teresa so much. You know the depth of her suffering. You know all that she has seen in her life as a nurse who has ministered to your people. Lord, you know every part of her being. Teresa is a blessing to you, Lord. And you were there when she was being knitted in her mother's womb. Well, the years have gone by, Lord. She needs help. She needs your help. And we believe nothing's impossible to you, Lord. I ask, Lord, that you place your healing hands on Teresa's back, on her neck, on her shoulders, that you touch any narrowing of her spinal canal, because I believe that's part of this. Cleanse her of any debilitating arthritis. And we also intercede to you, Mother Catherine Drexel, who served those in need for 44 years, and then you became immobile from a severe heart attack. Teresa, Mother Drexel knows and sees what you're going through, and we pray that her powerful prayers will come down upon you. Lord, we're seeking an increased mobility in Teresa's life, that you target those areas that need to be strengthened. And Lord, as the friends of that man who placed his friend through the roof on a mat so that they could place him close to Jesus to be healed, we place Teresa right now before you, and we implore that your power come down upon her. Just say the word, Lord, that her soul, her mind, her body may be healed. Amen and amen. God bless you, Teresa. God bless you. I'm sure you're listening down there in Lewis, Delaware. I think you were down there. I know Barbara was from there, so your cousin there. So unbelievable. Okay, we have more prayer intentions here. In fact, we have a lot of prayer intentions today. We have a lot of them, and that is beautiful. Put this back here. Okay. Okay, what we have here is some. Let me get this out for you. Okay, if you recall, we've been praying for Landon. Landon, that beautiful little boy who at the age of 3 came down with cancer. And for the next year, he had numerous chemo and radiation treatments. We prayed for Landon. And then we got the news. We saw his pictures. He was rejoicing. He had balloons about him. And he was cancer-free. Well, after a period of time, the cancer returned. Again, treatments of chemo and radiation. And we prayed. And again, good news, he was cancer-free. Well, Landon is now 6 years old. He loves school, and we just got word from his Aunt Linda that for the third time, the cancer returned. Third time. Again, he's receiving treatments at CHOP. The pastor at the Epiphany in South Philadelphia had a mass said for him, and it was well attended. My brother, who first gave us this prayer intention, my brother Michael was there, I was there, my friend Mary, and I wanted to give Landon a little present. And I had a small statue of the Divino Niño, the statue of the infant Jesus that is outside of Mother Angelica's monastery, the huge one, it's beautiful. I had a tiny one, and I went to Mass with it, and I gave it to Landon. You had to see how he looked at it during the liturgy. He was just holding it and turning it all around and looking at it with such love. It just brought tears to your eyes. It was so beautiful. And Linda says that he is a very spiritual young man, and that little statue is now in his bedroom. And he was upset that he had to have treatments again because he said, I'm going to lose my hair again. He's 6 years old. Well, Landon, we did speak with Linda, and when he has his treatments, it's from 3 and 7 p.m. at CHOP, all that time. And his bone marrow was just tested, and it didn't spread. It didn't spread. So right now, the treatments seem to be working, and that's good. That's wonderful. And he'll start his chemo again at the end of March. And then the radiation. So far, he hasn't lost his hair, so we're thankful for that. We are truly very, very thankful for that. And so, Lord, what can I say, Lord? He is in your hands, and I know you love him so much. And we're going to also give him to St. Carlo Acutis, that young man with cancer, that young man who was just declared a saint. He's 16 and declared a saint, 15, 16. Who did all that research on the 126 Eucharistic miracles, and guess what? His mother was seated with a Mary B. and her husband, and they've just put out an app, a complete app, on St. Carlo Acutis. So you could go right now to your cell phones or whatever, your computers, and get this new app on Carlo Acutis. I can't imagine speaking with his mother all that time and getting this wonderful information. Carlo, we're coming to you and asking you, pray for Landon, this little six-year-old. He's so adorable. He's so cute. So we're praying for that. We're also praying now, Marlene's mother. Marlene is from Belgium, and her mother is in Belgium. But Marlene is from New Jersey now. And if you recall, we prayed for her mother. She was 101 years old with medical issues, and she's now 103 years old. She just had a terrible fall, a brain bleed, a hematoma draining in her head. Now, we know that a fall at any age when you hit your head is difficult. It's a difficult trauma to go through. But at the age of 103, with a brain bleed, it's always concerning. We're going to pray for this incredible woman, because we got word just before we came on today that Maureen said that, Marlene said her mother is not doing well. In fact, she's right now taking off for Belgium to be with her mother, because it appears her mother may be dying. So, Lord Jesus Christ, we place Marlene's mother in your hands. Be with that family, Lord. There's nothing like family, Lord, when going through moments like this, and I'm sure they will have their love for each other that will strengthen them. And whatever is to come, Lord, it's, no one knows, it's in your hands. But give them peace. Let them feel the love coming from you through them to their mother and back to them again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We will continue to pray for Marlene's mother at this difficult time in her life. In her life. We have, let's see. Yes, we have a little time, not much little time to get some of these in. Let's see. As I said, we have a number of prayer intentions. And we have a number of them for cancer. And just so I can get them all in, I want to say their names and then say the prayer for cancer. Let's see, we have Bill. Bill has pancreatic cancer. He's 50 years old. We have Ed, who has cancer, Anthony, who has cancer, Donna, cancer. We don't know exactly where or what the situation is, but we have their names, and that is important. We have their names, so we take all of them right now. Lord Jesus Christ, we hear the word cancer, we panic, Lord. I know I had cancer also. I had breast cancer, and it's been now from 2009. And I just keep going, and I thank you, Lord, and I pray my prayer for them right now. All these people, we just pray, mention their names, Lord. Lord, nothing's impossible to you, and I just pray for each and every one of them and ask for your healing. We're people who believe in healing. We believe in miracles, like Amiglone, her shows she was giving on miracles. We believe in miracles, Lord. And we're praying that for every one of these cancer patients right now, Lord. We're praying it for them. God bless each and every one of them. God bless them. Looking here, let's see. Donna, Barry, Jerry, for medical issues. We don't know what they are, but Lord knows what they are, and that's what's important. We pray for you, for your medical issues. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for these intentions. When we're going through these things, we really need the love of Jesus Christ. We have to know he's by our side. Now, we could say, oh, Lord, help me. But believe right here. Just believe in your mind, in your heart, in your will. He is there. He suffered. No one suffered like Jesus Christ on the cross. So he knows suffering. And he knows every one of you that I just mentioned your names. And he is right by your side. You hear me? He is right there with you. So, let's see. In a very short time, we're going to take a little break. And then we'll come back after that break. Because we do have more prayer intention. And I do have more to tell you on this beautiful, beautiful woman of God, Mother Catherine Drexel. More to tell you that we're just going to blow your mind when we get into that. Okay? So, let's see. I believe we're about ready there for that break here. Let's see. Well, if we're not, we'll just go through. We're almost ready. Okay. Mara also. Cancer in the colon. Here we go, Mara, for you too, which has metastasized to the liver. Just three children. We prayed for her last time. We don't know what has been happening since then. So, Mara, just know that you're with us. You're with us. See, it was last time, but we still have you in our prayers. So, I thank you. I thank you. God bless you, Mara. This is not easy with the three children. Not easy. You're loved. You're loved. We love you. Our listeners love you. Amen. We're going to take a break right now. Come back.
My name is Mario DiAdamo, and I have been a faithful listener to In His Sign Radio Ministry since 1990 and to Kathleen McCarthy as principal host since 2007. Hearing the witness of Kathleen and her guests has contributed greatly to my spiritual growth. They have educated me about the tenets of my Catholic faith by presenting lay and religious leaders discuss topics that help listeners create an informed Catholic conscience. I always encourage people who are in need of prayer and companionship to listen, call in, and become part of our radio listener family by joining thousands of other people praying for your intentions. I personally can attest to the power of the prayers from the ministry. Kathleen often reminds her listeners that you are never alone because the Lord is always with us. Through this Catholic radio and internet apostolate, the Lord is indeed with us in a very tangible way. Please share the good news as Kathleen takes a leap of faith and expanding to a two-hour program to reach many more people who need to experience the love of God. Thank you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
We have another intention here. Susan Lavis, 76 years old. She is from Florida and she suffered severe injuries in a car crash, multiple fractures, including a fractured neck. God bless you, Susan. Oh, my. The fear, that fear when you're in a car and you see people going in and out, crossing in and out. And it's always so frightening, and here you're now a victim of this. God bless you. Multiple fractures, fractured neck. Lord, I put Susan right in your arms. Hold her. Wrap your arms around her, Lord. Wrap her arms around every one of those fractures. Your arms are healing. They're healing. And just hold her there. Hold her. That make your arms be that which can mend her and heal her. Yes, all the different things they may put on her. Yes, but hold those arms around her and heal her. And Elizabeth, there's another one. She's asking for safe travels to St. Louis. Safe travels. And now after praying for Susan, Elizabeth, please be careful. I don't know if you're traveling by car or plane, but if it's by car, be careful. Take time. Stop. Eat. If you have to rest overnight or whatever, don't try to do it all at one shot. Just be careful, and we'll pray for that, Elizabeth. God bless you. God bless you. We're praying for that. We're praying for that. Okay. Let's see. Let us look at the life of Mother Catherine Drexel, okay? There she is. I will share some of her background for you. She was born Catherine Mary Drexel, November 26, 1858, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Her father was Francis Anthony Drexel. He was a very wealthy man. As I said, he established the Drexel Banks, a whole banking empire. He partnered with J.P. Morgan, the financier. Her mother, Hannah Langstroth. Catherine had a sister, Elizabeth, who was 3 years older than her. But Catherine was born, sadly, 4 weeks after she was born. Her mother, Hannah, died of a serious infection from childbirth. It's a very sad loss for the family. Difficult time for Mr. Drexel. And for 2 years, the children stayed with their aunt and uncle. But then when it was time, their father, Francis, later met and married Emma Bouvier Drexel. And they would have a child, Catherine. They would have a child. Catherine's sister, her name was Louise. So Catherine would have a baby sister. And Emma accepted Catherine and Elizabeth as her own children. never showing favoritism. Emma was a wonderful mother to the girls. She was a Catholic woman, and she shared her husband's deep religious sense. The family attended the 6:30 Mass every morning, received the Eucharist, prayed together in the evening as a family, and Emma placed the chapel in their home. And 3 days a week, now get this, 3 days a week, Emma opened her home to the poor and needy. She wanted her daughters to know that their wealth belonged to God, and He entrusted it to them so that they can serve the poor. What a great woman Emma was. Now, here it comes. When the family took a trip to the western part of the United States, the young Catherine Drexel saw the plight and the destitution of the Native Americans. This was abhorrent to her. Their mission booklet says this was the beginning of Catherine's long personal and financial support of numerous missions and schools and missionaries. And the first school she established was St. Catherine Indian School in Santa Fe, New Mexico, in 1887. She then went to Rome. She had a plan. Her plan was to ask Pope Leo, that's Leo the 13th, for missionaries to staff the missions. She said to him she would build them, she would finance them, if he would send the missionaries. Well, she was surprised to hear the Pope say to her, "You should become a missionary yourself." Well, she said she had thought of it during the time she was taking care of her mother, Emma. She had come down with serious cancer. She was very ill, and Catherine took care of her for 3 years. And when she passed, Catherine then consulted with her bishop, James O'Connor. He was very close to the family. And she made the decision. She gave herself totally to God, along with her inheritance, through service to the Native American children and the African American children. My friends, the need was so great, and she felt a compassionate urgency to change the racial attitudes. The need for quality education loomed before her, because the law prevented these children from obtaining even a basic education. They couldn't, especially with them working on the plantation, which Catherine Drexel sought to change. To her, this had to change. She would buy up some of those plantations and put schools on them. That's how dedicated she was. Amazing woman. On February 12, 1891, Catherine Mary Drexel professed her vows as a religious sister, founding the Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament, who would share her message of the gospel and the life of the Eucharist among the Native American and African American peoples. Now, during her lifetime, now get this, she opened and staffed, she directly supported 60 schools, 50 missions, 30 convents, 23 rural schools in 13 states, and that included trade schools and agricultural schools, supplying them with food, clothing, medicine, rent, furnishings, salaries for the teachers, and she even found priests to serve their spiritual needs. And her two sisters, her blood sisters, Elizabeth and Louise, they also helped with building of these missions. She also built boarding schools for them. The ministries of Mother Catherine and her Sisters of the Blessed Sacrament included religious education, social services, visiting them in the homes, visiting the people in hospitals, visiting them in prisons. Mother Drexel was totally dependent on divine providence. And her joyous demeanor, she was a joyous person with all of this, her joyous demeanor was so in tune to the Holy Spirit, she had to be, to penetrate the many obstacles she faced. and to facilitate her advances for social justice, she was a very busy woman. Her crowning educational focus was the establishment, as I said, in 1925, of Xavier University, a black Catholic university in Louisiana. From that time, in 1925, many graduates of Xavier have made their mark in many professional fields. They're doctors, lawyers, professors, pharmacists. There's a huge pharmacy school there that's one of the best in the country. They're scientists, they're government officials, they're advocates for the needy, and etc. Mother Catherine Drexel. Ah, what a servant of God. My friends, our beloved mother. In 1935, she suffered a massive heart attack. She was confined to her bed for the last 20 years of her life. 20 years. She was rendered almost completely immobile. This woman, who accomplished so much in her life, now lived in the infirmary at the Mother House in Bensalem. And she gave herself there to a life of contemplation and adoration of her beloved Jesus. She died on March 3rd, 1955. Her cause of sainthood was opened by John Cardinal Kroll of Philadelphia. She was canonized a saint by our beloved St. John Paul II in the year 2000 at the turn of the 21st century. My friends, when I began today, I said I'd like to share a personal experience. I was invited to give a concert, because that's what I did in my adult life. I sang and gave spiritual concerts. To give a concert and a combination retreat day for the Third Order Franciscans. It was to be given at the Mother House of Mother Catherine Drexel. She was a saint. I got there a little early to set up my sound system, and a sister of the Blessed Sacrament walked in, and she said, "Are you Grace?" I said, "Yes, sister, I am." She said, "I can help you set up if you like." Well, we started talking, and we did a lot of talking. I said, "I'm honored to be here where Mother Catherine lived." I said, "And I'm impressed that I'm speaking with one of Mother's sisters of the Blessed Sacrament." Now, as we spoke, she saw that I had a love for Mother Catherine. And she said, "Grace, how would you like to see the room where Mother spent her final days?" I couldn't believe what she said to me. I was at a complete loss for words. I said, "Sister, I would be honored that you would offer me such a special gift." "Yes," I said. "I would cherish seeing her room." So we went up to the second floor, and as we approached Mother's room, there was such an air of reverence and sanctity. We went in there, there was a bed there, some furniture. And she says to me, "You know, Grace, if you notice, look at the wall, go down, there's a window on the floor." I thought, "A window on the floor?" I thought, "What was a window doing on the floor?" She said to me, "Bend down, look through the window." So I did that. I bent down, I looked through the window. I couldn't believe what I saw. All day, every day, Mother could see the Blessed Sacrament on the altar. The monstrance was there. She could be in adoration of her Jesus, whom she loved so much. The chapel was down there. Beautiful wooden chairs that faced each other, that the sisters would sit and sing in there. They would pray their responses and their prayers. I couldn't believe it. I mean, seeing Mother's room and seeing the Blessed Sacrament on the altar brought back the words that Mother Catherine spoke before she ever had that heart attack. These were the words that she spoke before she ever was confined to bed. I'd like to read her words to you. In her fervent love of the Eucharist, she said this: "My sweetest joy is to be in the presence of Jesus in the Holy Sacrament. I beg that when obliged to withdraw in body, I may leave my heart before the Holy Sacrament. How I would miss our Lord if he were to be away from me. By his presence in the Blessed Sacrament and after benediction, the priest locks the sacred host in the tabernacle. I beg Jesus to lock me in the tabernacle until morning. My friends, how profound is that? In the evening, she wishes to be locked with Jesus in the tabernacle. And she spoke those words before her heart attack, before she was confined to bed. And now here she is in that place that she prayed for. But the difference is, she is now, today, not locked with him in the tabernacle. She's locked in his arms in the kingdom. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? Mother Catherine's feast is March 3rd. I have a song that I wrote and recorded on CD on the Holy Eucharist. And because of her fervent love of the Eucharist, I'd like to have our producer, our engineer, Patrick, play it. And I would like to dedicate it to all of you and to St. Mother Catherine Drexel on her feast, on this her feast, her anniversary of 25 years. Listen to the words. It says, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Word made flesh, born to dwell with us, the Savior of the world.
The Son of the Living God.
God of truth, light, the bread of life, the savior of the world. Just want to make sure we have Bill, COPD, more prayer intentions. They really came in today. I thank God for that. Heart-related issues. We're going to be praying for you, Bill. Catherine Drexel, severe heart attack. 20 years in bed. Can you imagine? But she was in adoration. She could lay in bed and turn and look down at that window on the floor and see the Blessed Sacrament and be in adoration all day. God bless her. I'm not finished with her yet. You better believe there's going to be a part two. For me to think there would just be part one on her, this is only the beginning. We'll do part two. I'll do the third Friday of the month. I come on Kathleen McCarthy's station here, and we'll do more on Mother, because there's so much more on it, so much more. But anyway, so Bill, we're praying for you, having Catherine Drexel pray. She knows your heart condition. She knows that. Donna, thyroid issues. Thyroid issues, believe it or not, I have them too. I'm one big mess, Donna. But anyway, when I say them, our listeners are there, and believe me, they're prayerful. They're praying for these. And Kelly, back issues. Kelly, you're taking your thought of here. You're here. Your back issues. Dolores, health problems. Dolores, my sister's name. My sister's in the kingdom. I know it. She had a lot of health issues, and she's part of the communion of saints up there. I know it. And I'm going to ask her, Dolores here needs your prayers. Okay. And nudge Jesus a little bit, and Catherine Drexel too. Get them going up there, okay? I think we may have covered some of those. Let's see. We got the ones here. I want to make sure. I don't want to leave anyone out. Okay, we got this crew here. And I'm just going to go to this one here. I'd like to get this one in. This is John. John is my cousin. He's my first cousin. Going to pray for him. We've been praying for him. He's now anticipating his third surgery. He has been through so much in his lifetime. He's paralyzed from his waist down because 36 years ago, he had an infection in his spinal column. And all these years, he's been paralyzed. He was able to, at some point, to get a scooter and get around on a scooter. So he had some independence with that scooter, be a little independent. But then he was riding down on it, and a car was coming out of a garage. Ran into John, and eventually John had to get his leg amputated. But he's a dynamite guy. He's a resident of Inglis House, and recently he had surgery for stones. There was blockage between the kidney and the bladder, and he just had that surgery. He's doing a little better now, but he's not finished. He has to have more surgery to make sure to get all those stones out and make sure there's nothing brewing in there, you know. So anyway, I love you, John. I love you. You've been through so much, more than even I mentioned. I couldn't have done it, John. I couldn't have done it. And I know you would want me to mention my brother Michael, who has been there for you the whole time. You love him to pieces, and you trust him. And it's so beautiful here, the two of you in conversation saying this. And I know you people out there will enjoy this. They talk to each other. You hear them in conversation saying, "Hey, cuz." "Yeah, it's me, cuz. How you feeling, cuz?" "I bought you a hoagie, cuz." My friends, you can't make this up. You can't. I'm telling you the truth. What a beautiful relationship they have. And God bless you, John, what you have dealt with. And you see, John, you're a victim soul. I believe you are a victim soul, which means many people are getting into heaven because of your sacrifice. And the day you get there, you're going to see many people that you don't even know running up to you to thank you. And the first one will be Jesus. Mary DeAngelis, dear friend, praying for you, Mary. She's had two hip surgeries. She fell on two separate occasions within a year. She's a Third Order Franciscan, one of my best friends. She's doing great. She's amazing. What an amazing person. And we're praying for your nephew, Victor, cancer of the bile duct near the pancreas. About to start his chemo February 24th. So, all of you are in our prayers. In our prayers. And I say Jesus is praying for you. And you know the fact that I have her here. Oh, I have so much more to tell you about her. And you know what? The books, go to your laptop. Go to your cell phones. Book called St. Catherine Drexel by Lou Baldwin. It's so complete. You'll never put it down. And also, the sister who took over for her with the sisters when she passed, she has a book simply called The Biography of Mother Catherine Drexel. Both of them are so complete. You'll never read it in a day. Take my word for it. And there are other books. There's books for children on her. So you do that. You go to your laptop or your cell phone, and there you... I mentioned pictures of her in the field with the umbrella over her head, holding the little babies in her arms, the little children circling her. They love to be around her. The families, the elderly members of the families in the fields with her as they're building these things. It's amazing to see. Pictures are on the computer. Pictures are in these books I told you about. Wait till you see these pictures. In one of them, she has a feather coming out of her head. Okay? And her sister had an even bigger feather. God bless you. Thank you for joining me today. I hope, go to her. She's so powerful. Go to Mother Catherine Drexel. Look, the relic, I want to just put that a little closer. That piece of fabric was on her body. It was on her body. And I'm using it as a relic to heal you people today. I love you. I love you. Love being on this station with Kathleen McCarthy. She's a monster. She's done incredible things. So anyway, Patrick, thank you again. Thank all of you. Have a great day. Thank you.